A high school friend of mine said he almost became a Presbyterian, but he said it was too difficult to spell. People often ask me how to spell Presbyterian, if I'm opening up a new account, or if I have to list my employment for whatever reason, or taking a survey. How do you spell Presbyterian? But as James Angel puts it, Presbyterian is more than a 12-letter word. It is also an important piece of the Christian story. So without being too literal about it, how do we spell Presbyterian? And I can think of at least seven ways. Number one, in a biblical way. We try to spell Presbyterian in a biblical way. The Greek word for elder is presbyteros. It was in the Greek text of the passage from which I just read, and is the basis for our word Presbyterian. So Presbyterian is a biblical word. It's a biblical term. Presbyterian and Reformed churches have been guided by the teachings of the Protestant reformers such as Martin Luther and John Calvin. And by the way, in case you haven't heard this yet, October 31st of this year will mark the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The half millennium celebration of this great renewal movement within the life of the church, coming October 2017. Meanwhile, back to what I was trying to say. Presbyterian and Reformed churches have been guided by the teachings of the Reformers. But there are differences. Luther wanted to change only what he thought was hopelessly corrupt. Calvin wanted a more complete change based on the teachings of Scripture. Queen Elizabeth I remarked that the teachings of Calvin were more reformed than the Lutheran. And that's a term that just stuck. And we use it even to the present day. The term reformed describes Presbyterian beliefs. Now, sometimes Presbyterian and Reformed Christians are called Calvinists because of the influence of John Calvin. But for Presbyterian and Reformed Christians, Calvinism is just a nickname for biblical Christianity. It was Calvin's conviction that the Bible is the Word of God and is therefore the final authority in belief and practice. Some churches put tradition on the same level or higher than Scripture. Some put church councils or even church leaders on the same level or higher than Scripture. Some put personal experience on the same level or higher than Scripture. For Calvin, tradition, councils, and personal experience were all important, but did not possess the same authority as the witness of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Two, we try to spell Presbyterian in an orderly way. Orderly way. The Bible tells us all things should be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Presbyterians take this to heart, almost to the point of obsession. We tend to be methodical about things and avoid haste in making decisions. I've often told people there are three speeds in life. And in order, they are fast, slow, and Presbyterian. We make glaciers look quick. A Presbyterian church is a representative democracy governed by elders elected from and by the congregation. It is not by accident that the form of government for the United States is similar to the form of government for Presbyterians. Presbyterianism was so prevalent in early America that the British referred to the American Revolution as that Presbyterian revolt. Several signers of the Declaration of Independence were Presbyterian, including the only clergy to sign the Declaration, John Witherspoon. And Witherspoon, in turn, had a profound influence on James Madison, who was the architect of the U.S. Constitution. Three, we try to spell Presbyterian in a family way, in a family way. God wants a family. This summarizes the entire theme of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. God chose the family of Abraham and Sarah to be the means by which God gathers a larger family to himself. God is at work in the world, gathering a people to himself. This work is described in Ephesians in this way. God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. The vast majority of Christians around the world use a ritual with water called baptism. And this represents entrance to or identification with the family of God, otherwise known as the body of Christ, the church. And many churches will place a baptismal at the entrance to the sanctuary, as we have, to represent the meaning of baptism. Unfortunately, Christians are often divided by the other meanings associated with baptism, and there are a great many of these other meanings. For some churches, baptism also represents profession of faith, and so they will only baptize people who are old enough to make such a profession. But if you're a Presbyterian or Reformed Christian, then you also associate baptism with the sign of the covenant. And Paul links the signs of the covenant in Colossians and elsewhere. And so, because we see it as a sign of the covenant, we confer the sign, following the biblical example, on both believers and the children of believers. As a sign of the covenant with God, baptism points to the promise of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and the obligation to continue in faithful service to Christ all of our days. Four, we try to spell Presbyterian in an intelligent way. Look around the room. This is a highly intelligent gathering of people. The great commandment states, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Mark 12, verse 30. Sadly, many people think that having faith and using one's mind are incompatible activities. But this is not what Presbyterians believe. We want to love God with our minds, as well as with heart, soul, and strength. To put it another way, to become a Presbyterian Christian does not mean you check your brains at the door. Education has been one of the hallmarks of the Reformed tradition. From Calvin's Geneva to John Knox's Dictum for All of Scotland, a school in every parish. That's where that phrase comes from, a school in every parish. Or here we would say a school in every county, unless you're in Louisiana. They have parishes, but education being a hallmark. Education has been and continues to be a central feature of Presbyterian and Reformed Christianity. Even in the New World, several institutions of higher learning, such as Princeton University. Princeton University was founded to make sure Presbyterian ministers and Presbyterian lady were educated. It's kind of changed its purpose over the years a little bit, although we still have Princeton Seminary, which is kind of an offshoot of Princeton University, and that's still connected to the Presbyterian Church. Now, this kind of emphasis on education, unfortunately, has led to kind of an arrogance in our history, which led to the expression, you can always tell a Presbyterian. You just can't tell them very much. So. Number five, we try to spell Presbyterian in a hopeful way. David said to God, for you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Psalm 71, verse 5. We may not know the future, but we know who holds the future. God is in charge of the entire universe. And the God who is in charge of the universe has sent his Son into our world to redeem us. God in Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and raises those who trust in him to eternal life. We can have confidence to face the future, not because of who we are or what we have done, but because of who God is and what God has done. Perhaps more than anything else, Presbyterian Christians have stressed that our salvation is of the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon is widely recognized as one of the greatest preachers of history. He also embraced Reformed theology. He said, if anyone should ask me what I mean by a Calvinist, I should reply, he is one who says, salvation is of the Lord. I cannot find in Scripture any other doctrine than this. It is the essence of the Bible. Because our salvation is of the Lord, we cannot boast of it, nor do we fear that it will ever be taken away. It is in God's hands. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Six, we can spell Presbyterian in a grateful way. A grateful way. Paul writes, as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. The appropriate response to God's grace is thankfulness. Now, grace refers to God's unmerited favor. All of God's gifts to us are undeserved, especially the gift of salvation. In spite of our sinfulness, God has given us his own Son to be the means by which we can be forgiven. Now, it used to be the Presbyterians were strongly associated with grace. If you wanted to know about the doctrines of grace, you asked a Presbyterian. Unfortunately, in our past, we took the role rather too seriously. An Anglican scholar had been invited to do a series of lectures in Scotland. It came time for him to depart and go home when his host asked him, "So, what do you think of Scotland?" The scholar said, "Well, it has some good points, but it has three serious drawbacks. It's always raining. It's very cold. And there are too many Presbyterians." "Well then," replied his host, "may I suggest you go to hell? There, it's never raining, it's always hot, and there are no Presbyterians." So we got a little carried away in our past. Thanksgiving. Next to grace, Thanksgiving is a quality that has been strongly associated with Presbyterian Christians. We've kind of lost that a bit, but we can regain it. Knowing that we are justified by grace through faith and that it is God's gift to us, the Christian life then becomes one of thanksgiving to God. Committed service to the worship of God, the imitation of Christ in loving our neighbors, telling real good news to the whole world becomes our calling. In our best moments, we are fearless in the pursuit of justice, truth, and compassionate action. And we do it because we know God is good. And number seven, we try to spell Presbyterian in a holistic way. Dr. David Livingston is one of the most famous missionaries of all time. For 30 years until his death in 1873, his life was spent in an unwearied effort to fulfill a threefold mission: relieve suffering, increase knowledge, proclaim the gospel. Relieve suffering, increase knowledge, proclaim the gospel. He relieved suffering as a medical doctor and also as a staunch abolitionist of slavery. He increased knowledge as an explorer, and also as a scientist. And he proclaimed the gospel through teaching and through preaching. Now, Livingston had a profound influence on the Presbyterian Church, which in turn embraced his understanding of mission. Mission means to serve the world by carrying out the Great Commission, Great Commandment, and the cultural mandate. The Great Commission is to make new disciples. The Great Commandment, love God and your neighbor as yourselves. The cultural mandate is to be salt and light for society. Those three ideas, all tied holistically into one understanding of mission. And medical missions have been an important part of our heritage. Today, the Medical Benevolence Foundation is arguably one of the best medical missionary organizations in the entire world. Not many people know that. Not many Presbyterians know that. It's like one of the best kept secrets about the Presbyterian Church. Well, I've covered a lot about the heritage of our Presbyterian portion of the Christian story. But I want to make it clear that anyone who's a Christian can be a Presbyterian. We are guided by a pattern of religious thought called Reformed theology, and a structure that stresses active participation by all believers, not just a handful. We're only one part of the family of God, but we believe we have something to contribute to the greater church. To paraphrase the scholars of Westminster Abbey, together we can grow in our desire to glorify God and enjoy God forever.